Welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities in London. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. Planner and urban designer Tim Haggyard took a career break in 2013 to devise and walk a route through Britain that linked places of worship with places from his childhood and those related to friends and family. Walking Sacred Britain also marked the 10th anniversary of his wife's death. Contemplative walking is key to Tim's way of life, providing respite from the day-to-day pressures of a busy local authority planning department and as part of his practice as a Buddhist. The interview was recorded when Tim was only 3 days into the 112-day walk, which he began from the Sangha of Amaravati Buddhist Monastery in Hertfordshire. We join him in London after breakfast in Swiss Cottage and walk a short distance to the mosque in Regent's Park. Our conversation ranges widely as Tim reveals the choice of destinations and how they relate to his life and faith.
What was the catalyst for you to do this extraordinary walk?
Crumbs, the catalyst? Well, it's just had a long gestation. There's been ideas going around for years. I love walking. I realised that it was kind of time of life opportunity. Propping up. No particular responsibilities. I could afford to take a few months off work. I mean, I read a book 20 years ago by Satish Kumar, who's sort of a bit of a green New Age type guru, runs the Schumacher College, and he walked around Britain. A book called No Destination. A lovely book to read. And I always thought, that sounds good. And then, of course, you know, I mean, walking really, for me, is just so much a part of my professional life anyway. And then it's also a part of a practice of my Buddhist background. I mean, the Thai forest tradition. I was in Thailand last year for a few weeks, and it reminded me, you know, the huge distances these Thai forest monks used to walk. And, you know, the sort of the health of the exercise is very conducive to the stillness of a meditation practice. So very complementary. So the fact that what was happening was, for me personally, my life, I had a 10th anniversary. I lost my wife 10 years ago, so I felt like I wanted to do something. I thought, well, why don't I do something that really means something special to me? So let's just go for a long walk.
How long is the walk, and how you know, what's the
okay?
Well, how does it break down?
It's kind of a series of pilgrimages in a way. It starts and finishes at Amaravati Buddhist Monastery in Hertfordshire. It's about 1800 miles in all. I didn't have a particular distance in mind when I planned it, but I did have certain destinations in mind. And actually, within the time available that I negotiated in my career break, I've had to drop one or two destinations.
And the break itself, you're going from the beginning of March to the end of June?
That's right, yes, yes.
And can you remind me how many days is that?
It's about 112 days walking.
And so 1,800 miles divided by 112?
Yeah. It's nearly 16 miles a day average, yeah.
Have you ever done any durational walking like that?
Funnily enough, no, not really. I've sort of done quite long single days walking. I've done a lot of walking, say, on holidays, but I haven't actually done long distance trails. So in a funny sort of way, I don't have that much experience, but I've read plenty of people who have, and I think I've got a sense of, I think, what I'm able to do.
Now, you're carrying a full pack. You tell me it's not that heavy, but how heavy is it?
Well, I haven't even weighed it, actually. It's about 35 litres in size.
That was quite canny, perhaps, not to weigh it.
Not to think about the weight too much. Well, you know, you do get really, you know, very much into sort of, what do I need, what don't I need? It really focuses the mind. So I'm sort of minimal clothing, really, and minimal, I don't know, everything.
Well, we're now walking through Regent's Park, and we've got the sort of early morning. It's a fantastically bright morning in March. We've identified the destination we want to aim for. Perhaps you'll explain why.
Well, I'd say I did want to sort of reach various points of the different faiths in the country. I haven't made much contact with the Islamic world, but I did email the London Mosque. I said I'd like to come visit if I can. So whether they've got a note that I'm arriving this morning. But actually just standing here and seeing the sun coming up, and it's the gilded sort of dome of the mosque is reflecting. It's quite inspirational actually to see it.
But you're doing a multi-faith walk, aren't you? It's not just, the destinations aren't just places of worship, but quite a few of them are.
It's multi-faith, but it's all faiths and none, if you like, because it's secular as well, because I'm going to see the Liverpool waterfront, you know, I'm going to cross the Firth of Forth Bridge. I think these are quite amazing places as well, you know, the sort of...
So how have you chosen them?
There were certain obvious places, and then others sort of kind of seem to be on the route, and I've never been to Liverpool, so that's really quite an exciting sort of prospect to go there. And actually, I'm giving myself my first day of rest when I get to 42 days walking, I get a day off in Liverpool.
Perhaps I should be coming to interview you then. You're fairly fresh now. This is only day three.
That's right, yes.
And so far you've had magnificent weather.
I've had dry weather, and dry and pretty still. So you can't really argue with that. I mean, it's been on the cool side, but that's fine. I mean, I think heat might be more of a problem than cold, if I'm honest, because you do build up, as you're walking, you have to generate quite a lot of heat. And
did you do any sort of training for this?
Yes, I've sort of over the last sort of year or so, I've been quite regularly going out weekends. I mean, I've done walks of over 20 miles, 24 miles, and I know how tired I get at the end of 24 miles, and then I know with the pack it's a little bit more as well. So I mean, a distance of 12 miles is nothing really.
Nothing. So nothing. Today is what, 16?
Today's 16 or 17, yeah, so a shorter distance.
You're heading towards Eltham.
Eventually I'll be in southeast Eltham, which is where my parental home was for many years. So that's kind of part of, you know, I'm connecting up places to do with family and friends. And
so from the mosque, you're going from here, you're going to...
I'll head along the Regent's Canal, a good walking route through London, get down to Limehouse Basin, and then follow the Thames Path. And then I'll take the tunnel, there's a pedestrian tunnel at Cutty Sark, Greenwich. Come out there.
So you're going to have that incredible view that Canaletto painted, and of Greenwich, the palace at Greenwich.
I went to school at Greenwich actually.
So you know that.
I was at the Roan School, which is right by Greenwich Park, so it's a familiar view to me. But
I warn you, it's under construction, the Roan School, so some of the kids are now on Royal Hill. They're renovating the school.
Oh, well, so there you go. I'm sort of out of touch a bit with what's going on there. But I mean, it always was. When it went comprehensive, they built an extra building for the site and the school.
Now, as you can see, it's a popular place for getting fit, but you're getting fit in a different way. There we've got a group of women running by, we've got people coming towards us, everyone sort of switching to their iPod.
I mean, Buddhism, the Buddha talked about the middle way. I like to think of this as sort of middle way fitness, you know. It's not taking extremes. People might think 1,800 miles is an extreme, but actually, all I'm really doing is a sort of a healthy manageable distance day after day for a long time.
You know, I'm obviously accompanying you, and you've had some people already start you off.
Yes.
Have you got people right across the 112 days, or are you actually going to be walking solitary and meditatively?
Well, hopefully I will have some days by myself, because that's quite valuable space as well. But I'm very happy. I've constantly said to people, join me if you want to. It's a great way of meeting people, getting to know people. I mean, I've learned things about you today that I'd never known before, and likewise with some others that I've already met, people I knew for years and told me things I never knew about them. So I'm walking with a monk for a month. He's going to meet me in the Lake District and travel with me sort of up to Scotland. We get to Iona.
Is this a monk you know?
I've met him once, yeah, or twice now, actually.
So, that's quite bold to walk out with someone that you hardly know for a whole month.
Yeah, I've got a certain confidence in, their discipline, if you like. And I think I'd be pretty unlucky to find myself with a monk who I couldn't get on with.
Yep.
No, he's fine. He'll be great. He's a lot younger than me, so he'll have no trouble with the distance.
Do you find that when you're walking with someone that you actually kind of slow down, or do you feel you actually keep up the pace that you need to keep?
Stopping, talking, taking sights in, so that breaks the rhythm a bit. So there's a little bit of a tension between, you know, covering the distance.
I'm holding you up already.
No, because I've got no other engagements today, as far as I'm aware. So.
And how are you recording this, or are you not recording it?
Blog that I'm keeping. A few people have followed me on that.
Is that something that you've been a writer before, and you felt that you could do that?
I've not been a writer. People say I write okay, you know, and it's sort of a nice way. I've often kept personal diaries on other trips that I've done in the past. this will save me having to do that. And then I've also discovered on my smartphone I've got an audio device, so I'm keeping a few sort of my own sort of voice recordings, and whether I get those sort of typed up and...
And you're taking photographs and
taking lots of photographs. Everyone said you must take photographs, so as long as it doesn't take over. And
okay, well, let's try and explore some more of the destinations that you're going to. So tell us a little bit more. Yesterday you went to a synagogue.
I tried to go to a synagogue, yeah. I didn't get... Turning up with a rucksack on my back and just a card saying I'm doing an interfaith walk probably wasn't quite enough, you know. I had emailed them beforehand. It was a synagogue in Hampstead Garden Suburb, and I think it was part of the original plan, and it's still an active synagogue. So not having been in a decent synagogue before, I thought it might be an interesting one to try. But
and you said your maternal grandparents lived there during the war?
My mother and her family were on the Garden Suburb between 1930 and 37. So, yeah, for a few years before the war.
Well, now I know, and you know what you do is in your professional life, but the listeners don't. So tell us a little bit about what you do in your job.
Okay.
Because you've already mentioned you do quite a bit of walking in your job.
Yeah.
But also tell us a little bit about how that will change your perspective of what you discover.
Mm. I mean, by background, I'm a trained geographer, planner and urban designer, but I've been working in a planning department at East Arts Council for nearly 25 years now. I know my patch quite well. I manage a team dealing with planning applications on the west side of the district, and actually in my routine, day-to-day stuff, I spend an awful lot of time at my desk. Maybe I have that advantage that I've walked and seen so much of the district, you just got to kind of get a feeling that you know a place.
Part of the intention of the walk is to perhaps rediscover or learn about the country you were brought up in.
Definitely, yeah, no, I mean...
And you're going to see it through what a professional's eyes too.
So. A mix, yeah, no, definitely, I mean, I can't help myself sort of viewing things from a sort of professional perspective as well. But I think this sense of direct experience, there's no substitute for direct experience of things. A friend said to me, you will know Britain, you know, by the time you come back. Well, you know, okay, a little channel of it, an 1800-mile channel that I'll have carved around the country. Because there's always stuff you don't see, isn't there? But
try and explain the route, you know, where, you know, I know you said you start at one point and come back to it. But
Yes. A series of destinations that I really did want to get to. So I've called it Walking Sacred Britain because there's places like Canterbury, Stonehenge, Glastonbury, Avebury, Iona, Lindisfarne. There's a series of Buddhist monasteries that aren't so well known outside the small sort of Buddhist community in Britain. But I'm going to a Tibetan monastery in Scotland, and they have a place on an island just off Arran as well. So it's about 6 days' walk from the Tibetan monastery to this island. In a way, there's a series of mini pilgrimages, if you like. As it works out, I get to Stonehenge on the spring equinox. If I can pass myself off as a druid, I might get into the circle in the evening. I'll see how that goes. I'm not trying to get too caught up in it. I mean, Stonehenge, as you know, is a bit of a planning disaster, if you like, but it's not a lost cause. We really need a vision, but the idea of just sort of, you know, walking up to the stones and seeing them in landscape and experiencing them and approaching them, you know, that much as any other place you might want to do that.
Yeah.
And I suppose I feel really, you know, okay, maybe the physical tiredness or the mental focus that gives as well, just by walking, makes it all a stronger, more powerful experience. So without trying to build it up too much.
Are you going to walk routes that you've already walked before? Are there places that you're going back to?
There are places I'm going back to. There aren't many routes that I've necessarily walked before. I mean, obviously crossing London is very familiar territory. I have been on the Regent's Canal before. But no, I'm doing like the Pilgrim's Way, there's the Icknield Way, Offersdyke, just sort of parts of all these long historic routes. So kind of connecting with that movement of people that, you know, we always used to walk a lot, obviously, as a, you know, before cars arrived and we had a bit more wealth and convenience. That was how we got around. And
you're interested in walking former rights of way and...
Absolutely. I think and you know, there's rights of way of different characters. You know, you come across a route and you just... It's a bit sort of lost, but you suddenly realise, hang on, you can just tell, you know, people have walked down here for centuries, you know. I had so much planning to do just from the walk, the practicalities, booking places, doing the maps and the routes, you know, 112 days, you can imagine there's quite a lot of planning involved. It's great now because I can just enjoy it all, you know.
And where are you staying?
I'm in a mix of places, but quite a lot of bed and breakfasts and hostels, a few family and friends, a few monasteries, a few eco pods.
And are you carrying a tent as well?
A yurt tent. I'm not carrying a tent. I will carry a tent from the Lake District, so when the monk joins me, I'll have a tent for that section.
Right.
But for the first part, partly because I thought, well, if it's cold and wet, you know, I think I probably need somewhere to dry out, you know, so I sort of put off any notion of camping for the first part of it.
Well, also, I don't think you need to feel as though you haven't done the job because you haven't slept out every night.
Sorry, I have got a survival bag if I need it, you know, if things really get bad. But
okay, so what happens if it does go wrong?
Well, things go wrong all the time. That's the nature of things. When things go wrong, in a sense, that's just the nature. Things go. That's going right. If you see what I mean, it's sort of. So I just have to face whatever problems arise.
And blisters and things like that.
Yeah, I've got a few blisters and.
We're only on day three. And
only on
blisters.
Day three, and I've got blisters. But wonderful, you know, the wonderful thing about a problem is, you know, you apply a little bit of intelligence, do a bit of internet research. I've got a theory that I need to make sure I don't shower and bathe my feet in the morning, so they're a bit damp during the day. I think that might be what caused the blisters. So if I'm right, walking is going to be a dream because I'm very comfortable with the distances so far.
Okay, so one thing I ask people I interview is I ask them to recommend a couple of walks. Now, it's a bit early for you to recommend anything on this walk, are the walks that you've done yourself that you'd recommend?
Yeah, it's funny, really. I've done quite a lot of local walks around Hertfordshire, partly because I quite like just walking out my front door. That's where the whole day I just stay with my feet and my body. A lot of people tend to drive off somewhere, do a walk, drive back, but for me that slightly interrupts the nature of the day. So there's lots of local walks that I can recommend to people perhaps, but I'm not saying I would recommend people travel to do those walks. I think just discover where you are, really, you know. Unfortunately, we're all so busy and we think, oh, it takes so long. But actually, once you start doing it, you know, what else could be better to make time for?
That chimes in very well with the Buddhist faith. How long have you been a Buddhist?
It was a gradual process, but I suppose my first contact was when I travelled in Asia, and that was 84, 85. My wife was Thai, she was Buddhist, so I sort of married into the culture as well. But I was already interested in Buddhism. I'd done meditation retreats, and then, of course, a group of Westerners who trained in the Thai forest tradition came and established monasteries here, one of them being at Amravati in Hertfordshire. So where I lived in Hertford, I was close enough to have that connection. So they offer retreats there, and there's a family camp that I've been involved in for many years. So that's kind of developed the kind of community aspect of it as well. It's just something that's sort of grown up over the years, really, and it's huge wealth of sort of wise counsel there, really, you know.
It's a bit tough to ask you a little simple question on an interview like this to then explain your faith, but you know, I'm going to keep going here, but want to, you know, because I think meditative, contemplative walking is very much part of it, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, no, to kind of summarise the teachings from the Thai forest tradition, they talk about sila, samadhi, panya. It's sort of ethical conduct, meditative practice, and then sort of the wisdom teachings. These are sort of the three strands, if you like, and they all reinforce each other. So to have a good sort of practice helps to reinforce your understanding of the readings and the teachings. The teachings, you know, can help to reinforce your practice. Your ethical conduct is all part of it as well. So, you know, basically you go around doing, you know, mean things to people, you don't have much peace of mind. So it's, you know, in that sort of sense, they're all very much sort of interconnected. And it's quite simple and direct. And Ajahn Chah, this great Thai teacher I never met, but I love his teachings. Food for the Heart, that's a book I'd recommend. Yeah, he's very much into sort of, you know, what works for people. And he didn't have a sort of an academic background. You know, he's a bit dismissive, really, about people studying Buddhism in an academic sense. It was very much experience, direct experience, and he did loads of walking himself. From that sort of sense, I feel I'm just doing something in this country that many other people have done. And there's lots of people doing walking, aren't there, really?
Well, good luck.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities in London. In this episode, you've heard from Tim Haggyard. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we would love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the Talking Walking website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stuck of Rethinking Cities Limited. Our artwork is designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics, and the music is composed by Simon Sanders of Easytronic.